I'm Archbishop Robert Carlson, the Archbishop of St. Louis, just across the river, the home of the Cardinals. I'd like to thank the Council of Major Superiors of Women Religious for the invitation to be with them in these days and to have the honor to offer Mass for all of their intentions and for all of you. At the beginning of St. Luke's Gospel, the text for today, we read, as Jesus continued his journey to Jerusalem. In some ways, an insignificant phrase that can be easily overlooked. And yet, it is symbolic of Jesus' entire life, a preparation, a journey to the cross. These words capture the meaning of our Lord's ministry. And at the same time, as he speaks to the lepers, he offers them a tremendous confirmation. This one who returned, your faith has saved you. In the midst of this journey, Jesus comes upon 10 lepers, and from a distance he hears their plea, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. This is more than a pious petition. It's rather uncommon in the Gospels coming from sinners, especially. As a matter of fact, we find it on the lips of the good thief as he hung upon the cross, being punished for his sin. And we hear this same acclamation from the 10 lepers who had a terrible disease that in their time was considered to be a sin. And yet, their phrase, Jesus, Master, have pity on us, leads to salvation, and for one, his profession of faith. Now remember, Jesus instructs the 10, these outcasts from society, to go and to show themselves to the priests. And on their way, they were cleansed. And one, the Samaritan, would return. And it's important how he returns. He returns glorifying God. This Samaritan, having received God's grace, has been given the gift of faith. He recognizes it as a gift from God, and he acts upon it, giving thanks to Almighty God. This gift of faith. And as each one of us sit here this morning, we are invited to the power of the gospel to reflect on our own gift of faith. I remember years ago when I was teaching at the University of St. Thomas, I had Religion 101, every freshman's worst nightmare. And the first couple years I used to give term papers, but I thought after a while, I'm the one who's suffering. So I decided in this particular time that we would have presentations. Little did I realize it would be a much slower form of suffering. But one of the young women in the class stood up, I'll never forget it, and as she addressed the class, she said, I took this class because I've been praying, asking for the gift of faith. And I thought, if I were to go to a class filled with Catholics, I would come to understand what faith is all about. And she said, unfortunately, I find little in your lives that shows any appreciation for faith. I assume she was talking to the students and not to the instructor. You could hear a pin drop. She had hit the heart of the matter. They really didn't need to be instructed any further. For through the gift that the Holy Spirit had given her, they all focused on faith. And through the gift that the Holy Spirit gives to the Samaritan, and on this Sunday morning to each of us, we also are invited to focus on faith. Remember Jesus' words after the Samaritan returned. Stand up and go. Your faith has saved you. And as the parting words of this liturgy invite us to go in peace. We too go, hopefully being more keenly aware of the gift we have of faith and how God desires to minister to us. In this simple parable, our Lord captures so much of the history of salvation. The 10 who had the illness, at the time cut off from the community, certainly from family and friends. And then the Samaritan, whose faith enabled him to see, if you will, a sacramental vision for all of us. Without the vision of faith, we can experience in life many good things, but it's only with the vision of faith, with the eyes of faith, that we can see the good things that come to us as a gift from God. This certainly is true in my own life. I was transferred from one diocese to another, and I had really liked where I was and was brand new in the other. Sisters, you may experience this as you're transferred from one place to another. And I was feeling particularly sorry for myself. I know that's never happened to any of you. But I was. And I was praying, and the Lord gave me a tremendous gift. In the midst of feeling sorry for myself, he said, because you were generous and left, I can tell you that everything that was good that happened for you and to you, I did. And had you stayed, you might have thought you did it yourself. So if you're feeling particularly good about yourself this morning, ask God if you did it or if he did it. Because I think he wants us all to focus on the fact that as people of faith, he is the one who does the good things for us. In this past week, Pope Francis went to Assisi, and it reminded me of the words of St. Francis of Assisi when he met the lepers of his own day. He said, "When I lived in sin, it was very painful for me to see lepers. But God himself led me into their midst, and I remained there a little while." Pope Benedict, focusing and reflecting on these words, said, "St. Francis had been healed of his own leprosy, namely pride. And that breakthrough converted him to the love of God." Each of us, people of faith, also must be healed, whatever the particular thing is for us. And unless that happens, we will not see the world around us with eyes of faith. We will still see good things, but we won't know the fullness of the blessing which is ours. St. Paul tells us that faith means that we live in the awareness of the divine presence as a way of life. When I was in high school, I went to a Christian Brothers high school, and halfway through every class, it didn't make any difference whether it was religion or chemistry or algebra. One of the students would ring a bell, and he would say, "Let us remember that we are in the holy presence of God." And after 4 years of high school, it finally sunk in. They were trying to teach us something. And today, through the power of the Word, God is trying to teach all of us that we remember that we live in his holy presence. Each Sunday, even daily, we gather like the Samaritan in the presence of the Lord, blessed as we are with daily Eucharist. And during the time of the Eucharist, we can give thanks to God for all of the blessings which we've received. But it takes that vision of faith. We hear the words of Scripture, and because we have been given the gift of faith, we see that this is how the Lord desires to touch us, and that God is also pouring his gifts of grace into the hearts and the lives of all those around us. It's what allows us to enter into communio, to be a people of faith. And when we come forward at the time of the Eucharist, we affirm that what we have given is bread and wine, now consecrated to be the body and blood of Christ, blessed and broken, is the risen Lord. And we return like the Samaritan to give thanks, and in the reception to offer our own act of faith. Today, truly, we need to hear the words of Pope Francis. He told us when he said, "There are many Christians without Christ. They seek out novelties, special things, private revelations." We need to bring people to Christ, the Holy Father said. Sisters, you need to bring people to Christ. My brothers and sisters in this community, each one of us is called to bring people to Christ. For whatever in our life does not lead us to Christ will deny others to see Christ in us. And this is why the church has blessed us with these powerful readings. Like Naaman the Syrian, who loaded up dirt from Israel to take back to his native land, may we take the power of the word and this day live it. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us stand for the profession of faith. And for the congregation, if you notice, that there's a special form for the profession of faith today. It begins with saying I, and then we'll each repeat our names along with the sisters. I, Robert Carlson, with firm faith, believe and profess each and everything that is contained in the symbol of faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. And by the Holy Spirit, was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. One holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. With firm faith, I also believe everything contained in God's word, written or handed down tradition and proposed by the church, whether by way of solemn judgment or through the ordinary and universal magisterium, as divinely revealed and calling for faith. I also firmly accept and hold each and everything that is proposed definitively by the church regarding teaching on faith and morals. Moreover, I adhere with religious submission of will and intellect to the teachings which either the Roman Pontiff or the College of Bishops enunciate when they exercise the authentic magisterium, even if they proclaim those teachings by an act that is not definitive.